so the whole thing was designed to sell more figurines, and at one point it's working. It was a straight up it's working in this house,
in our house
for sure. So at one point it was just about like the game, and there was some like kind of straight up lore, right? Like bad guys, good guys. And then around the third edition, second or third edition, they hired this writer because they were like, well, we really need to deepen this because everyone's playing D&D. This was like 84, 85. And they're like, everyone's playing D&D. And what we really need to do is deepen the lore and turn this into something that people can play collaboratively and without, you know, because British war games have some of the most obscure labyrinthine sets of rules, and like, you know, they're like, well, you're up on the hill so you get a sight line, and you know, just like, it's so fucking technical. So they were like, we need lore to bring people in. They got the wrong writer, because they got or they got the right writer, because they got this guy who was like, I'm gonna turn this into a parody of modern day England, right? Like, there's a dead monarch and everyone acts like they're still alive. And everyone's a fucking asshole. And the future, everyone's dumb and has forgotten how to make everything. And it's just the most like religious, anti-scientific, dark, world without end, xenophobic piece of shit. That's the universe. And they put that out. And the people at Warhammer were like, oh God, maybe we've made a huge mistake. And people fucking loved it. People were like, yes, this absolutely rules.
It's that, and it's also like it does the very D&D thing where it's like, here is a popular fantasy sci-fi universe. It's ours now.
Yeah.
So anything in Lord of the Rings, they have made a space version of it, fucked it up, they and brought it on
elves. They have space elves.
Into this.
When Terminator got popular, they were like, space Terminators, the Necrons.
Space robots, those are now, ours they ended now up, too. Interesting.
The fucked up thing is they end up writing like some legitimately badass fantasy history behind them, right? So like the space Terminators were for like 5 years just like, I don't know, they're space robots that came out of nowhere.
That's not really fucked up though, because that's how storytelling has proceeded for all time, right?
Right.
Like, you have these basic story structures that go back however many years. This is kind of how it's always worked.
So for, but like in the year six of the Necron thing,
like, I don't think that's that fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, right. The fucked up part is what they do to these stories.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But then they took, like, in year six, they're like, crazy Egyptian space gods who killed their masters and turned into perpetually undead, soulless killing machines.
Sure.
With vast tomb worlds. You're like, okay, that worked out. It only took 6 years to get there, but you guys figured it out.
Bring it in. Bring it in. We'll yep, add that. It's the most, throw it in. Franchise, yeah. In all of, I don't know, like there might be some anime thing that is even more like, sure, fuck it, that's canon, but like,
yeah. they just straight up threw in dwarves. They were like, we have dwarves and we'll call them squats.
Yeah. There are in this universe there are at least four deities. And there's this is the I think everyone knows the blood for the blood god. Everyone's heard that.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that's where this was from.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit like that. God Emperor, like most people know that from Dune, but it's also like Warhammer helps.
Straight up a Warhammer thing, yeah.
Dune is another thing Warhammer just completely dumped in.
Yeah.
As an ethos, I respect this.
There's the four gods. One's like a Loki. One's like a hedonist god, and then there's just a fart god, a shit god.
Yeah, like a decay-ridden fart
sure.
god, who's, by the way, the most accepting of all of them. He's like, you're great just the way you are. Like, anytime there's any wounded soul in the universe who's, like, on the verge of turning to chaos, Nurgle comes along and he's like, you think you're the problem, but I think you're just great the way you are. And they're like, really? And then, like, you know, 100 years later, they're this, like, farting corpse warrior who's like, how did I get here?
Yeah, so if you know, your figures, if you're going Nurgle, you're buying a lot of green paint.
A lot of green, just nasty, horrible, yeah. They suck to paint because you're just like, I'm nauseated just doing
this. Yeah, it was like, that was not an option, not considering it. I'm not doing
they sell my, so that's the last geek note. they sell little skulls, like spare skulls, if you're painting Chaos Marines, just to add to them, because you're like, yeah, that's badass. They're like, if they worship Khorne, they're like, you need more skulls. Like, this guy who is the blood god, blood for the blood god guy, he has a pile of skulls that's just from his favorite warrior. Like, there's all these piles of skulls around him, but he has one that's like, yeah, that guy's real good, put his shit there.
Yeah,
love it dog. And the guys I play, my faction, he loves my guys and keeps a bunch of them like in hell forever fighting because they're too stupid and or pleased by violence to ever leave. They're like, yes, we get to fight more.
They think hell is awesome.
they got to hell and they're like, fuck yes.
They're the two dudes from Little Nicky.
Yeah,
the deep cut, but they're just like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Wow.
Yeah. Space rocks.
Dude, you're fucking awesome.
The orcs are basically the only people who have fun in Warhammer.
They have no anxiety. They have no problems. They see progress as like, they don't understand it because they're like, life's perfect.
Yeah, they're like the Amish on Rumspringa.
Yeah. Forever.
Murder Rumspringa.
Yeah, murder. What do you have? Loot. How do you get it? Take it. How do you keep it? Kill someone.
Kill. Just keep killing. What do you do? Yeah. What do you do when you have all the stuff you want? Well, you don't, because you haven't killed everyone yet.
Their money is teeth. Just go out and get some teeth, man. Then you can buy a car.
And there are, to be clear, there are like 20 factions. And they're all this ridiculous. Like, every one of them, people have spent 40 years thinking about how to make them as dumb as possible.
I'm not kidding you. There is a human faction who's just Australians. Just in code. They're just Australians. They're just super jacked, shirtless guys.
Wait,
with
are
knives.
Are they just called Australians?
They're the Catechin warriors. They're like, what's their home world like? They're like, filled with snakes.
Yeah. Desert. Scorpions. Yeah.
Scorpions. It's a terrible place.
The sisters, they have like no genetic enhancements. They're just ladies.
Yeah.
Just women just walking out there in among these monsters. But they have such power of faith that like they are as good at fighting. Like,
they're church ladies.
Yeah, they're just
terrifying church.
They're just church ladies who long to be tortured to death. And will probably achieve it. Like, there's all these scenes of like in battle, one of them is being like mutilated and another one's walking, and they when they go into battle, they just walk around reading sermons like as they advance. And like they have this huge organ made of like bones and skulls and fire and shit, it's like the guitar in Mad Max just blasting psalms that are making their army more powerful. But like as this lady's being tortured, her friend walks past and she's like, oh wonderful, good for you. And they're both delighted about it.
Like, and you like, put them and the orcs in the same field and you're like, this is actually that far apart. This is,
but they would hate each other, but they shouldn't. shouldn't at all.
Wait, you'll torture her? Awesome.
What a deal.
Business.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right, good doing business with you, mate.
There's this kind of spacecraft called a dreadnought, which is a dead person they have turned into a spaceship. Like, no, you don't get to escape Warhammer just because you've died. Your brain is still alive, powering
this
spaceship.
Even in death you serve.
And you think this is awesome.
This will be an off-season special. Jason and I are just going to do a Warhammer episode.
It sounds like you could do several Warhammer episodes. This is not a diss.
We'll just laugh at Warhammer for like 90 minutes. And I don't know who's going to like it, but like I will be so happy doing that.
Jacket Dan. That's it.
Well, we haven't even talked about the stupid fucking Imperium or the Space Marines and how they have like a vampire division. So their master, their Primarch, he's impossibly beautiful. Yes. He's also a vampire. Yes. That is his curse. Yes. Welcome to the Shutdown Fool Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, the voice you are hearing right now. Joining me in Atlanta is Holly Anderson. Holly, did you get a sausage biscuit today? I'm asking that seriously.
Spencer, I did not get a sausage biscuit today.
We're going to come back to that.
Okay.
Because I want to know, because we have a phantom sausage biscuit to discuss.
I didn't get a biscuit.
Also joining us is Jason Kirk. Jason, how are we doing, sir?
I'm looking forward to one day understanding the biscuit thing, but I'm not anticipating it happening.
There is no understanding.
I will merely delve deeper into the mysteries of the biscuit thing.
Jason, the story of the biscuit thing, I got to tell you, having experienced it, will not advance your understanding at all.
Yeah.
It certainly has not advanced mine.
Like faith, it is beyond understanding.
Yeah. I had a real Popeyes morning at Crystal.
That shit doesn't work for me either, so.
And also on the ones and twos producing this podcast and occasionally chiming in with
jaunty Clemson visor.
You can't see it because this is an audio medium, something it only took me 10 years to learn, but we will convey the image to you anyway. Michael Server, our producer, wearing what is the exact shade of Clemson orange? I guess that's my first question today.
It's the next one. It's, in my understanding, it's the next one down from Florida in terms of redness, which makes it the second worst orange.
It's traffic cone.
See, people say Tennessee's is the blaze orange, but Tennessee is yellow orange, and I always take issue with people. Like, can you not understand Pantone?
It has a floral shade in there.
Well, it's a blood orange. I've ever seen.
It's because it's
the blood of Christ
made after a flower.
Yeah, that's right.
Go Tigers.
Tennessee's is the palest orange in the college football spectrum because it's specifically modeled after the American daisy that grows on the hill in front of Ayers Hall, which is the big old clock tower building on campus.
Cerber, that's a baptismal orange if I've ever seen one.
Praise him.
It looks, in this light, it looks red.
Yeah.
And I like that because with the shock of your hair standing straight up behind it, the overall effect is one of a frilled lizard that is warning away predators.
Yeah, I was going for that dinosaur from Jurassic Park, the one that gets Newman.
The Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm not climbing. Look, I love you, man. I'm not climbing into a Land Cruiser with you at night. Because I love myself.
I kind of wanted to go, like you said, the blood of Christ. And of course, that immediately begins making me think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as I always do.
Who?
Ask Dabo.
Dabo's friend.
Yeah, Dabo's Dabo's homeboy.
Oh, Santa.
Dabo, this is a man.
Have you ever wanted to sincerely have a conversation with Dabo about Santa? Because now
I do.
After years of not wanting to talk to Dabo about anything, I would love to talk about Santa Claus with him.
I will say one thing in Dabo's defense. He's an absolutely fantastic interview.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like talking to... It's like talking to a child who is in, like, a train phase... or an airplane phase, or like a racing car phase, and you just wind him up and he'll just go. The last time I interviewed Dabo, he was like 40 minutes late to the interview because he had discovered snakes in his fireplace like that morning, and
serpents.
It was almost on the Leechian spectrum of conversations because we were, you know, I was there to see oh God, I was there to see baby Trevor, I think, and all we wound up doing was talking about snakes.
That is awesome.
That is some,
which is way more fun than talking to Dabo about football.
That is some deep Carolina shit. How was your morning? I got snakes in my fireplace.
Yep. So I asked him, you know, like, did they come in through the house and nestle in the fireplace for warmth, or Dabo, were they on the roof and come down the chimney? And you could tell that he had not thought of that before.
Just making his day worse.
And so then, I'm the one that got to tell him that snakes can climb trees. We both learned a little. You don't know snakes can climb trees?
No, I'm just thinking about dropping that knowledge on somebody for the first time.
Yeah.
And Holly, watching it happen.
Yeah.
I think you taught Dabo how to win that national championship freshman year for Trevor. I think that was you.
Oh, shit. You know what? I accept.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Server.
I didn't have to care anymore because of you.
You personally. It wasn't for anybody else.
You don't have to.
That was just for you.
this is my way of asking, is Clemson still number one on the which teams are closest to Jesus? Like, which teams have the closest proximity?
Well, has Harsin wrenched Auburn further from the path via his Sea Org powers?
I think they might
literally be based on proximity to Jerusalem. Like, oh, Coastal Carolina's closer. I'm sorry. Mm. I think they're or FAU.
I was going to say Maine might have a...
Actually, I think it's... Oh, shit. It's the Miami Hurricanes. They're the closest.
Wow. Oh, God. For a second, I thought it might be Eastern Carolina, which would be a whole new...
Is turning the other cheek a form of turnover? Because if so, Miami is definitely the closest.
Wait, what about in the other direction? Is Hawaii closer?
Hawaii has turned their cheek the furthest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah, I would think Clemson is definitely like a top five still after all these years. Definitely being closest to our Lord.
Definitely the closest vertically from the top of his La Quinta.
The magnificent castle. I hope that was the house that he built the La Quinta. And snakes moved into the La Quinta.
Oh, shit.
I got snakes in my castle.
Oh, shit. I don't remember.
Dabo's a lord of the manor.
I'm going to have to go back and see what year that house was built, because I don't know if this would have been that house or not. Oh, man.
Snakes.
Snakes.
I got snakes in my fireplace. I bet he did. I bet he cut a hell of a promo.
When he's not talking about organized labor via his football team and shitting on organized labor, he's a fun conversationalist, Dabo.
Coaches are so deep in their own speak. I have no doubt that he cut a fire promo after practice that day, right? He's like, a house can't have snakes in it, boys.
My adversity has scales.
Yeah, every time that there's a loaf, every time that you pull up in practice, every time you give less than maximal effort, that's putting a snake in this house. You don't want snakes in your house. Dabo, do you actually have snakes in your house? Yes, I do. They're scary. They're so disturbing to me.
You know, when we turn on the TV and we listen to what the news media has to say about our program, that's letting snakes in the chimney of our head.
You know, and televisions are located in the living rooms of the homes, which is close to many chimneys, in my opinion.
A bad thought is a germ of a seed. You plant it in the ground of reality, and it becomes a tree of negative thought. And the snakes climb that tree, get onto your roof, and come down into your house.
Mm-hmm. God, now I'm imagining... Oh, man. Now I'm imagining just like snakes being planted on the roof of Georgia's various offensive coordinators throughout the years, just leaning down to the sill in the dark night, being like, "Why don't you run the ball, Bobo?"
That was a good hissing noise.
Yeah, somebody cut that.
Serber, did I tell you the Bobo thing over the weekend? Were we talking about this? Okay. Are y'all aware that the Jake Bobo, the quarterback, is not related to Mike Bobo, the coach?
There are multiple athletic families.
On. Don't spoil this.
I'm not. I'm asking.
Okay. So you are aware of Mike Bobo, former, I mean, many things, but we know him best as erstwhile offensive coordinator of Georgia.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jake Bobo, the... UCLA, right?
Yes.
He's the transfer from Duke. Despite being a college football player named Bobo, is not related to Mike Bobo. Here's the fucked up part. Jake Bobo, the football player's dad, is named Mike. And Mike Bobo, the football coach, does have a son named Jake. They're not the same. Did that track? My brain melted with this knowledge. See, this is why I was so mad. I was real mad to miss the full cast after dark, because this is all I wanted to talk about.
Just bursting in the door of the saloon going, Bobos! We got Bobos!
There's four of them! So technically, yes, Jake Bobo is related to Mike Bobo, but not like that.
Mike, of course, as we all know, was also a college quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm just now discovering via the LA Times that Jake Bobo's dad was Mike Bobo, who was a college quarterback.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How deep does this go?
You could have picked a different sport, Mike Bobo the other.
For our own personal convenience.
It's proof of alternate timelines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
within our own.
One attended college at Georgia, one attended college at Dartmouth. Those are equal schools in every way.
Dartmouth is the Georgia of the Ivy League.
Neither one of them's in the Ivy League.
I find it helpful to tell them apart via the long-standing screaming at Mike Bobo at Georgia, refusing to run the ball. And why would Jake Bobo want to run the ball at all? He is a wide receiver. So that is my personal mnemonic for keeping these two dynasties separate.
That's too many Bobos.
Anyway, I found this incredibly upsetting, and so I passed this knowledge on like the ring. Georgians, if you knew this whole time and kept this from us, we are in a fight. We are now fighting. We are mad at all of you.
Georgians aware of Dartmouth and UCLA seems pretty far-fetched to me.
They might be investment banker. Nah,
it's just, yeah, not. I don't know.
Dartmouth can beat the shit out of Tech, I tell you that. Go Dawgs!
Dartmouth is the beer school, so like that does check out. That like,
oh wait, Ivy League beer school. Dartmouth's the one that like Rembert went to. Dartmouth is perhaps the most relatable Ivy.
Dartmouth has the Dartmouth. I think Cornell is still the most relatable Ivy because they have the hotel management program. Like,
so apparently, it's like the UCF of the Ivies.
Yes.
Okay.
In that it is more accessible and actually gives people a job skill. Why am I trying to be nice to UCF?
No, I was just thinking about how I was a hotel manager in college, and it really does not take shit. I mean, they let me do it.
Cornell's a very good school.
I'm sure.
Sure.
That's where Cornell is?
It's in Ithaca? I just looked this up.
Yeah, it's in Ithaca.
It's in the part of New York where I kind of have... It's never really sunk in that people live there. I mean, it's. Yeah. I'm not being any sort of elitist. It's just never occurred to me that there are people who drive on roads and go to businesses in that location.
So, first of all, at the next live show, we should all four draw a map of New England from memory. But second of all, if you had taken away the state lines and asked me where this is, I would have said, like, and put Ithaca on the map and asked where this is, I would have said Pennsylvania.
I think, I could draw a pretty good map, but if you asked me to place all the Ivy League schools, I'm like, all right, Princeton, New Jersey, all the others are in Boston. That's it. That's all correct. I'm going to tell you about the Ivy League. Penn is in Boston? Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
I also had a very... I had an eye-opening experience when I was working in New York a few years ago, several jobs ago, and I just had it in my head that Boston was like half an hour away by car. It's not. Everything just looks so little and mashed together. When people are like, Colorado and Texas aren't that far apart for recruiting purposes, and I'm like, you fucking idiot. And then I'm like, yeah, you thought you could hop over to Boston at lunch.
That's because Connecticut is actually a tourist that contains 9,000 square miles.
Connecticut is the Virginia.
But it's all
have y'all ever
jumbled
driven
up
through Connecticut? It is like driving through Virginia on I-81. There's no way it's actually that long.
It's a Hellraiser
you
cube.
You can't get out of it.
It's a nutmeg. Weird. It's a nutmeg-scented Hellraiser cube.
Especially when that's one of your party is hungover and puking into the window of the car, like down between the window and the door. It wasn't me.
That's the rental car's problem, all right?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna go with brown as my Ivy. It looks like the easiest to escape.
Okay, Spencer. Well, okay. We're gonna do rock paper scissors. We're gonna go 1, 2, 3, go. And Spencer and I are gonna say what state brown is in.
Okay, ready?
Oh wait, shit! I have to think about it because I really don't think it. All right, I'm just gonna guess. Okay, ready?
One, two, three,
go.
Rhode
Maine.
Island.
Which one's it in? It's indeed Rhode Island.
Rhode Island?
Yep.
That would have been my last guess.
That's what the card says.
I remind you that Rhode Island, despite all protests to the contrary, remains a real place.
Huh.
Although, really, we should just straight out
this
swap.
This is our Ivy League episode.
We should just straight out swap Rhode Island for D.C. statewise. We really should. It's not like Rhode Island deserves to be a state anyway. They were just sort of like an enclave.
Well, then what are we going to swap for Puerto Rico?
Are you making
Virginia.
Connecticut more powerful? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, well, we're going to make, I think we can go ahead. Who do we want to cede? I'm going to cede Rhode Island to a state that deserves more power.
Not Connecticut. But Vermont. We like Vermont.
Sure. We'll make Vermont Rhode Island's sunny
Vermont
seaside.
Vermont is real bucolic. It needs a beach. We've added beach Vermont.
We could actually, if for shits and giggles, if we weren't trying to do the right thing, we could give Rhode Island to Nebraska. Right?
We could, I suppose, return it to the people it was stolen from. That creates a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Wherein we have to give back Ohio State, and I don't think that's going to go well.
Well, yeah, I don't know if anyone would want that. Mm. Anyone.
Yeah, y'all. Ohio State has been... Can you imagine trying to return Ohio State to its original tribes and them being like, this is like a rental car that has been smoked and peed in for the last 400 years. Like, can we get store credit?
Why did you give me back this Challenger filled with energy cans, like energy drink cans?
Can we give them store credit for like a chunk of Alaska or something instead that we haven't completely ruined? Oh, God.
I realized, by the way, when I was like doing some research for Thinking Out Loud, which is 7 p.m. Eastern on the SEC network.
Is it 7:30?
It is 7 o'clock. I was watching Ohio State, and I realized I have a problem with Ohio State, and it's this. I don't know if they're any good because they keep absolutely like ham slamming the teams that they face. They just keep obliterating them, and I'm not sure if they're any good at all because everyone they're playing sucks so bad.
Remember a few weeks ago when we said it was Ohio State and 13 Iowas, and we thought that was mean?
I think they've done a funny thing where I think you're right. They have sort of made it look as if a bunch of decent teams are terrible. Like someone, mm-hmm. some takesman, I forget which one, was the other day arguing Clemson would be undefeated against Ohio State's schedule. No problem. It's easy. And it's like there's a lot of good teams or okay teams or teams that are pretty okay at one thing. There's a lot of non-bad teams on this schedule. Like, according to computer ratings, like, almost all of the teams they've played are above average. Ohio State's playing a decent schedule and is kicking the fuck out of it.
Like, mm-hmm. they are basically, like, warping their own strength of schedule in my brain when you watch them because they don't make it look like competition.
They're creating and blowing the curve on their own.
Just listen. So as usual, we've taken Buckeye out of the curve. Everyone in the class is like, nerd.
54 points against Iowa's defense.
What
is the argument? What are we holding against Ohio State here?
Speaking out loud,
let's talk about how Alabama lays waste to every air raid team, like you guys said on the show last night. Which I have an asterisk.
Do you?
To add.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, what would be the asterisk?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. I actually, 2 weeks ago, I would not... I don't want to mm-hmm. I don't want to slander the air raid. However,
I'm sure.
I would say this. Tennessee's not exactly...
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But where was all that hatred for the prolific offense on October 15th?
I would like to know whether I should talk about Tennessee more or less.
No, less.
Because I can't talk about them more.
Less. Sorry, I'm sorry.
But I don't think you want that.
I am sorry I brought it up.
Yes.
Please continue.
Yeah. But point being, like, okay, so Iowa... gave them 5 short fields, I believe, in that game.
Who's doing this? It's not me.
It's, I believe, it's Server.
Server,
and that's fine.
You rake. Sorry.
You have to. I know.
I had to get it out of my system.
But they gave Iowa Iowa gave them 5 short fields to score on. You're okay. I'm going to go ahead and recontextualize that recontextualization. Have you seen other teams when they get short fields against Iowa? They kick field goals.
Right.
Ohio State just went to the ATM. It was like, give me 6.
We have a very important update via Bill Connolly. Jason, do you want to run through what we discovered via Bill and the tossed off assertion on Saturday night that Iowa should have just punted on first down?
Oh, right. Yeah. I after walking away from that game with that sentiment, not as a haul joke, but literally for real.
For real.
And he essentially confirmed the smartest college football person said, yeah, pretty much. If nothing else, the score would likely be closer.
Well, because it would have eliminated one of the pick sixes.
I forget if I spelled out exactly what the assertion was, which that Iowa would have been better off literally punting on first down.
Mm-hmm. It would have, I think Bill said it would have given them several additional yards for the, like 7 or something additional yards for the defense to work with.
It would have essentially
been in front of me.
It would have been like 13 or 14 more yards per drive. Yeah. And like I threw it out as it would have been 300 total yards throughout the course of the game just based on punts. Mm-hmm. Plus, you wouldn't have six turnovers. Your defense would have had more chances to score. The score would have been closer.
Yeah, this was Bill's exact response was, with a 40-yard net average on each first down punt.
There we go.
Doing so would have created an extra 14.3 yards of field position for the Iowa D per drive. It would have taken a field goal off the board, but it also would have taken off a pick six. So there's a net gain there, too.
See?
Woo! Woo! So point being, even in that, Ohio State was awesome. Like, also, they were incredible. And they're without their best receiver.
You can also, what if we try this? Surely some of Iowa's best athletes play on offense. I realize what I've just said sounds demented, but hear me out. What if over the course of the year you retrain a few of those fellas to also be backup defenders, right? So now the defense has become even more powerful. I realize the assertion that Iowa has any athletes on offense is a little jarring, but I'm sure they're there.
No, but I get that. Like, if there's water coming in the side of a boat and you want everybody to run to the other side as, like, ballast.
Mm-hmm. This was, by the way,
I don't hate it.
I do kind of want to fast forward 20 years and see what everyone from Iowa's offense is doing. Like, if they're all, like, CEOs. Why if they're all, like, none of them.
I know what Brian is doing.
He's going to be the offensive coordinator at Iowa.
Correct.
Hey. He might be the head coach.
Okay.
It might be in his father's, like, will that Brian gets the job.
Oh, God, you're right.
I'm sorry, but...
At some point become a thing he can deed.
I'm sorry, but corn law specifies that
You
may pass a program down to your son.
Wait, is Iowa one of those programs that has endowed chairs? This might actually be possible.
Not yet. But I bet. I bet there's a trust.
Okay.
And if that trust is out there. I have a weird little note that, just for when you talk about trusts, that just stuck in my head. Mm. So you remember, occasionally we get this, occasionally we get somewhere in usually like mid-November or in early September, we get a cupcake game of a large team, usually in the Big 12, against Abilene Christian, right?
What's special about Abilene Christian?
So Abilene Christian, I've learned from a longtime listener of the program, Abilene Christian as an institution, okay, put 25% of their total endowment into one oil and gas stock in 2018.
Oh.
This is literally dad going to the casino with the mortgage. It worked.
Oh.
So if you want to know, like, Abilene's one thing sort of fueling, I know all programs in Texas that are tied in with oil money, right? Like, Godfrey is fond of saying over and over again about, you know, well, it depends on the price of crude in the Permian, right? Mm-hmm. That's very real, but it's not just real for the Texases and Texas A&Ms and SMUs of the world. It's real for Abilene Christian. So, like, if you wonder why you're like, oh, their stuff looks pretty nice. Looks like they're on the come up. Mm-hmm. It's because they put 25% of the school's total worth into one oil and gas stock that paid off.
Oh, I thought this was going to have a different ending. Okay.
No. Okay. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. It could, but it worked. It somehow worked.
So far.
I think the thing about an idea like this is it is working for the people who are currently profiting from it, who have no reason to give a shit whether it continues to work after they are done profiting from it.
Bye.
Yep. Y'all got this.
I'm sure you can handle it from here. I'll be on my second yacht. Farewell.
I'll be not here.
Yeah, I will be somewhere unregulated, far from the arm of the IRS. Farewell.
Abilene having a pretty nice season.
Yeah, how they doing?
One of the finest in a while. I'm scrolling back to try to find a season. I mean, they're not incredible, but I'm scrolling back to try to find a season better. This one, it's taken a while.
Yeah. The only other time you might have seen Abilene Christian in a unique moment is when their head coach took a sip of a water bottle and it looked like he just hit like a full bottle of gin, right? Like,
we never determined that that was water.
We never determined that that was water. But yeah, I was like, you think that schools are getting reckless with oil money? No, no. you want to know what putting it on the line is, Daddy? That's putting it on the line.
Sorry, I'm petting server's dog through the camera.
Hello.
That's a thing.
I think she's alive.
That's great.
She's in plasma hound mode.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called the Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I did want to talk about one thing that sucks. One thing that sucks.
And Chris Fowler.
So Jermaine Burton didn't end up Jermaine Burton of Alabama, kind of
happened.
He hit a lady in the head coming off the field after that upset.
Can you be more specific?
Yes, he had a Tennessee fan as Alabama was exiting the field.
There's a field storming. It's very crowded.
There's a field storming. It's very crowded.
This lady on the field does appear to be trying to get away, at least from my viewing.
She's not close. Doesn't appear to be even a marginal threat. And even if she had squared up against this dude, there's still a size disparity.
Dude in football pads.
In football pads.
Yeah.
Jermaine Burton did not end up getting any real sort of public discipline or anything for whomping a lady in the head.
You can kind of also guarantee that he didn't get any private discipline either, because then they wouldn't be shutting up about it.
Uh-huh. Counseling is the word, right? Counseling, and it will be handled internally. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. All right. The last time I can remember this happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like an actual fan getting laid out by a football player in a field storming situation was back in 2004, when, if you'll remember, Mizzou upsets Nebraska, which at the time was a big deal. All right. Now it would just be a normal Mizzou-Nebraska game. But Mizzou upset Nebraska, and Kellen Houston, a player for Nebraska, decked, like absolutely decked, a Mizzou fan on camera, laid him out. Frank Solich immediately condemned it and suspended Kellen Houston for a game. Interestingly enough, by the way, after knocking this dude out and maybe breaking a bone in his face, with that kind of force, he's an orthopedic surgeon in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Just the fan is, or Kellen is?
Kellen.
Huh.
Kellen.
So he's always been interested.
Yeah. A sideline, by the way, fascinating to me, who ends up being orthopedic surgeons. They're all jocks.
Oh, absolutely.
All yeah. jocks. Cause yeah. they just love hand, like they're like, ooh, I get to like sort of push person around and pretty like much, yeah. help you fix a bone, buddy. Got your brother. Like,
well, they have to break bones sometimes to fix them. And they right. really love that.
Right. In my so experience. They love being the like heavy construction workers mm-hmm. of the surgical world. That's an aside.
That may still be in Burton's future.
You know what? I would hope he would just, you know, I hope the best for everyone. I hope that everyone, you know, gets better and becomes a better person.
Well, so that leads us to this past weekend where who was the broadcast team?
I believe this is Fowler and Herbstreet.
This is Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreet, whom you may have heard of, who I have worked at enough of these companies to know that pretty much any conspiracy theory you can come up with is horse shit. Most things that show up on these broadcasts that you would find objectionable can be traced back to one or another producer covering their ass or attempting to cover the asses of others or attempting to curry favor with an SID who won't even be there in 3 years and doesn't care about your network anyway. But the degree to which Fowler in particular went on about how Spencer, is it fair to say the line we were getting from Fowler was she was asking for it?
I believe that Fowler invoked the
repeatedly
chaos repeatedly invoked the hostility of the scene uh-huh. as being a reason why one might behave this way. Mm-hmm. I think that is a generous way to put it.
Mm-hmm. And so did Herbstreet, which was interesting to me because I recall a time in 2017 in this exact same game when Tennessee's Rashawn Golden flipped off the end zone, the Bama end zone, creating a beautiful Renaissance photo. And Kirk advocating repeatedly on air that Rashawn Golden should be thrown off the team for this. Anyway, I think it's fun when people say their values out loud so that we do not have to guess at them. I think that's a public service, really, that these two men performed over the weekend. Because now, in case there was any lingering doubt, you don't really have to wonder what kind of people they are. It's sweet.
It just seems like a very reasonable thing to say. That person should probably be suspended. You probably don't get to hit a fan. Mm. That's just my two cents here. You should be able to say that. You should be able to say, I would disagree with somebody who would argue otherwise.
Like, Chris, this isn't The Bodyguard, and you sure as shit ain't Whitney.
Yeah.
So, take a fucking lap, buddy.
Yeah. Additionally, should down the road a Tennessee player get in trouble for something along this similar dynamic, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy.
No, don't.
No. I mean, keep the same energy of, that person should be suspended.
Oh,
you don't get to do this.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Wait a goddamn second.
No. You just get to listen to a lot of talk radio callers who are like, well, listen, I'm a girl, Dad, and I would have whooped him, and I think he should be suspended. Okay, cool.
That's cool. Fine.
If this happens the other way around.
That's fine.
Just keep that same vibe. I just want to hear that. Yeah.
Get the consistency. This is, you know, I know that we are all trying very hard as we can not to remember every single time one of these dudes has called one of these kids a thug on the air, but fuck you, Fowler. Just fuck off, man.
Just Jermaine Burton. Forever. Just a game. Suspend the dude. Suspend the dude a game.
Or if I mean, you know, I'm not even arguing with that. That's Alabama. It's going to be opaque forever. This is not the first time that a player of theirs has skated. And Nick maintains a sterling reputation for that because he's just mean, and so everyone assumes that mean correlates with disciplinarian. But do we have to cheerlead him after the fact, guys? Do we have to do that? Must we? Ryan's not here, but we all know what his beautiful wife and my longtime friend Caitlin would say. It costs you nothing to be quiet.
It's free.
Yeah. But again, I'm glad that they weren't quiet because it's important to know that this is what they think. That this is what they think of you and me. It's public service. I've slipped into Godfrey cadence. Somebody fucking rescue me. I'm done. Do some jokes. Oh, wait, sorry, one more thing. Kirk is winless in his game day picks at Tennessee this year. I think that's funny.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not.
And he has to watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon, which has been reliably some of the worst. And if it looks like as the NFL gets generally more and more awesome, the exception is Thursday Night Football.
Which sucks because, man, I'm going to... I think that you can apply this to two things, and this is a theory with a data set of two. I really love what Amazon is doing with these broadcasts. Like, you can see the money. You can see all the money that they spent into this. I love what they're doing with their graphics. I love everything that is happening on these Thursday night games except the football.
I also love Al Michaels openly talking about how bad the games are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Al Michaels doesn't give a fuck. No. It's so good.
But this bears out my Amazon theory from watching the Lord of the Rings series, which is that you can really tell the properties that Jeff Bezos is personally invested in because you can see the money dripping out of every frame. Mm-hmm. Like, it may or may not be fun to watch, but you can really tell that they put... No, I'm serious. Like, these things are so... I think I might be kind of on some kind of hyper shiny... he's basically jangling keys in front of me that are made of hyper cubes. Like... The Lord of the Rings show and the Thursday night football games are the most expensive looking things I have ever watched. And I'm kind of visually fascinated by both of them, except for the part of what I actually have to watch inside them. It's not great.
Yeah,
but I'll keep watching both of them because they're so pretty and shiny.
To this point, both of them and the show, they're going for like many years of it. So who knows? You know, and I'm not caught up, to be fair. But both of these properties have been... extremely cool screensavers to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a better use of his money than literally most of the things he could spend it on. So
I cannot recommend enough. I'm glad you brought that up because I cannot recommend enough like popping an edible about 90 minutes before the start of watching either of these and just kind of zoning out and just vibing. If you have a projector screen or like one of those little mini projectors that could just put this up in a wall in your house, blow it up to the biggest screen possible, and just like hang out in some really expensive CGI trees. But like, we should probably come back to football. Have we talked about this before on the show? Like the graphics are so thoughtfully done.
It's on this
Amazon broadcast.
I believe they also got Fred Gadelli. I think Fred Gadelli's working on that, which is if you just know that name, just know that it's one of those names that that people say like, yeah, that guy, consummate pro. Consummate pro.
No, but you can tell they just shoveled money at things until it looks so shiny.
Yeah. Fred Gadelli is one of those guys who in a hackneyed producer and exec discussion,
he's a behind the scenes gunslinger.
Well, but when they're having that discussion like, hey, we got a new football show, we need the people to watch, one of those two guys will go, get me Gadelli. Go get him. And then Al Michaels talks about him the same way. Al Michaels also really rejoices in how in the third and fourth quarter he can just start talking to Kirk about stuff, like just like, hey, this doesn't matter, you know, how are your kids, Kirk, how's life? It's pretty good. I had a good steak the other day. I'm like, Al Michaels is a genius. This is so good.
We're basically calling baseball right now. No, excuse me. Baseball right now.
Baseball.
Wait.
If you translated Al Michaels' accent to Southern, it would be...
Oh, Jesus.
It would be the twangiest.
You might actually get one of those people who, like, in real life pronounces garage gayraj. Which I've never heard.
So there are
Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, my grandpa was one of those.
Yeah, he would be that guy, right? He'd be like pecan.
I've only ever met like two people in real life that talk like, I mean, the gold standard is Kevin Spacey in House of Cards, right?
Yeah.
That talk like that people think everyone in the South talk from, and they were both realtors in Columbus, Georgia. So make of that what you will. Like that Katharine Hepburn and Foghorn Leghorn mashup.
I'll say.
Well, good morning.
Field goal, Cleveland.
Like, it's a very feminine voice, but it's like a feminine voice with two dips in. Good morning.
We could just slide the Broncos over to Thursday night for the rest of the season.
Can you imagine?
And that's another punt by the Chicago Bears.
Justin Fields, I do declare.
Justin Strawberry Fields.
Shouts out to Bailey Zappi, by the way. I'm sitting there at the bar last night with Michael Felder. The first time I had ever met Michael Felder in person.
That blows my brain.
So blessed. And we're watching it, and they bench Mac Jones after Mac Jones makes another terrible pass. And they put in Bailey Zappi, and I was like, let's do this, Bailey. Come on. Let's do this for, let's do this for Western Kentucky.
It's time immediately. It's time to spam this deep ball.
It's red towel time, damn it.
Spam deep ball.
By deep, I mean 35 yards.
35 yards downfield. Bailey Zappi. And he ended up throwing like a deep completion on a route I've never seen before. Matt Patricia, mind genius, offensive coordinator, formerly defensive coordinator.
I've heard that name before.
He ran like a, it was like a fade over. It was like an over route that they took to a fade. It's the longest route. It looks like Billy running through a family circus comic.
The
like
opposite, it's just, so the opposite of a fade is like something getting brighter, right? So it's like a Brighton route.
It was, yes, it was a sunshine, it was a sunrise route. And that's how long it took. It took like 5 minutes to even appear over the horizon, but it was open and Bailey Zappi hit it.
Yeah, you're damn right. I loved the way that that game as a multi-hour thing didn't matter. All that mattered was boring guy out, guy with big college numbers in. He threw two touchdowns. Case fucking closed. The internet has made its choice. Leave in Zappi. He's singing Stacy's mom. This is our guy. Like, what a victory for, I mean, for a lot of people, but including college fans who like weird teams and like, you know, like the guy who threw for 50,000 yards per game over like Bama guy who got to throw to the best players every week. Like, the... I think the single funniest thing I saw after this game was Bomani tweeted something like, what argument is there for sticking with Mac Jones? You know, why? Why not? Why not just try out Bailey Zappi? And someone said, racist.
Did you see what he said back?
Yes. And like he noted, like, yes, I'm being, me and Minister Farrakhan are caping for Bailey Zappi. That's, you got me.
It's like, the Nation of Islam to Western Kentucky pipeline that if you subscribe to our parlor shows, we have been talking about for several months.
Yeah, I don't. There are several of these dudes. Like, I think Geno Smith drafts off some of that. Geno Smith.
Geno, don't you say a fucking bad word.
No, I'm not saying a thing. Every time Geno's been given
a word about my sweet
I love
child.
That there is a hive of people who, ever since Geno Smith was at West Virginia, absolutely bombing. In Dana Holgerson's version of the air raid, ever since that happened, there every time he gets a starting gig in the NFL, it's like, it's Geno time!
Except this time it's fucking working!
There's a long list of quarterbacks.
His jaw hasn't been wired shut in a while.
I think there's a bunch of these guys that, like, you know, we enjoyed when they were between 18 and 22 watching them play sports that, like, we will never be convinced that they're bad. You know,
nope.
Like, I don't give a fuck how many more teams I've mentioned it before. Josh Rosen has to go through.
Oh, I'm with
he
you. He
will find the right situation for him. And Geno is absolutely on that list. Like, the number of people who are surprised by Geno Smith being really good doesn't include college fans. To be fair and accurate, this does not mean we are football geniuses. Half the time, this means we're really stupid. But when we're right, we will enjoy it.
When it comes to Geno, it just means we have eyes. Sorry.
That's right. I'm still convinced at one point there's going to be a playoff game. First, wild card. Okay, let's not get out. Let's
Chad
not get
Pennington's
too out of pocket.
Coming back, y'all.
No, it's going to be like,
Pride
well,
of Knoxville.
It's going to be like, well, man, listen, Aaron Rodgers is out. Second stringer's knocked out. That means they've got to go to third stringer. He was just signed last week. That's right. Chad Kelly coming in the game. And Chad's going to rip it. Chad's going to go like 18 for 24.
Yeah, I mean, if there's some situation where the Cowboys are like, oh, God, we got to put in Kellen Moore. You know who's like, oh, fuck, that's it. Bet on the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. As they throw 8 yards per play.
I haven't read this article, but I just pulled the most beautiful. I just opened this article and left it on my phone on Sunday for the express purpose of just showing it to you guys on the show. I'm going to read the headline, and then I'm going to show you the picture. NFL Sunday takeaways. It keeps getting worse for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Put it in my blood. Now? He looks like a Halloween dummy that has just fallen out of its stand.
Yeah.
And it's just lying prone on the ground. Look at his dumb head.
That's...
Yeah. This is a Washington Post article by Mark Maskey that was published on Sunday that you can read or read not if you want to. I just enjoyed the headline and the photo, like a good news consumer.
By the way, in this Get Fantasy scenario where Chad Kelly gets injured, Eric Dungy of Syracuse comes in and laces another six passes to clinch the victory.
Why do I suddenly taste grape?
So the solution to an injured quarterback situation is putting in a Syracuse quarterback, particularly that one who is addicted to seeking injury by any means necessary. He is the one who has been hardened and prepared. He has he spent his college years forging unbreakable skin. His bones are nothing soda. But he's nothing but scar tissue. You cannot hurt him.
Scar tissue and grape soda.
I enjoy quarterbacks coming out of college who, when they take to the pros, you're like, oh, this won't last very long. I watched him play. He does not understand physics or impact. Dave Ragone, classic, now a coach, but Dave Ragone, classic college football QB, because Dave Ragone was one of those guys who chose to die on the dumbest hill any quarterback could die on, which is, I will not slide. Mm. Now, this might be a viable option for you if you're Lamar Jackson. Right. If you're Lamar Jackson and you're like, I am
flowchart. Are you Lamar
Jackson? Are you Mike? Yeah. Are you Mike Vick? Right. Are you somebody fast enough to recognize contact when it's coming and get out of bounds? There's like five people in the world who can do that in the NFL. OK. If you're not one of those people, if you're Dave Ragone, who was definitely one of the fastest guys at his high school, but was not the fastest guy when he was at Louisville. No, you don't get to do that. And Dave Ragone would not slide. Dave Ragone went like headfirst into some of the worst impacts I have ever seen a quarterback take. And he would just get up like, yeah, that's just the game. Like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. What? Nope, it has to be this way.
And like, no one's impressed.
No.
Like, no one thinks you're cool now, Dave Ragone. You know,
everyone
cool
wants you to stop doing
think you're
this.
Cool. We think would you're a walking scratch and dent sale.
What would be really cool is you slide, and then you get up, and then you throw a touchdown. That's a lot cooler than getting flattened. It doesn't everyone look cool to be upended.
I can guarantee you, everyone who thinks this is cool is the dumbest man in this stadium.
Yeah, that's my fucking quarterback.
That's my guy.
He's in a small puddle because he wanted one more yard. That's not cool.
Yeah, he's just out there like walking into the outdoor every single play, right? Just bang. Like Dave Ragone was the opening skit of I Think You Should Leave, where he's like, this door opens both ways and just slowly pulling it off the hinges. See?
I think this has made me realize that Teddy Bridgewater's sliding style is like sarcastic. Teddy Bridgewater,
oh,
famous for instead of sliding, just sort of surrendering to gravity. I think that was an act of protest. Like, oh, they told me I have to slide, but I don't want to. I want to keep playing football. So I'm going to do this really stupid crumple. And then doing what you told me. Huh? You happy? You happy? I almost hurt myself sliding. Idiot, making me slide.
Just quapping
to the
floor. I
just want to have fun running around with my friends. And you told me to slide. That's what college was like.
Dude, that's why I love Hendon Hooker, because you know what Hendon Hooker does when there's serious impact coming? Whoa, no, not going to do that.
Not for me.
For me, dog.
Fuck that.
I would prefer not to hit you with the Bartleby. You know, I would like to hit you very hard. I'm going to opt out of this. I've selected not to receive this email.
He's not large, man.
No.
I think once defenders finally accustom themselves to, like, don't dive at the quarterback who is, like, 90% of the way into sliding, which we see every single week, I think once defenders have finally mastered that, the next counter in the ever-evolving chess game that is football is teaching your quarterback to limbo and then stand back up and keep running.
Just oh, like, I love this.
To do the Matrix slide and keep running.
Mm-hmm. As if I am limboing on rollerblades and then, surprise, I'm not down. I haven't given up myself nor anything. What I've given up is everything but the end zone.
It's also a good time to throw off a catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've got one.
You better prepare one of those because it's your time.
Or just several words of magic.
Did he say he was Lightning McQueen? I am Speed? That's so weird. I kept waiting for Kenny Pickett to get kind of some sort of karmic retribution for the fake slide that he pulled off.
I don't think karma speaks Kenny Pickett is the best way I can think of to put
karma.
It.
What,
karma.
I don't think karma. I don't think karma groks Kenny Pickett. He kind of is on a different astral plane.
I'm here to deliver a karmic package for Kearney Pickett. No, I'm Kenny Pickett. I don't recognize that.
Colonel Pickett.
Yeah, it never really happened because that's not how things work. But like on the list of plays that were awesome, and you go, yes, there should be a rule passed immediately that you can't do that.
Yes, yes.
Is it legal?
Thank you for. White hat hacking the rules to show us where the deficiencies are. Now, don't do that again.
What is Kenny Pickett's move in like Warcraft? Like, what is this? Like, what is the thing? How is he cheating? Because I know that like whatever game Kenny is playing, he's probably picking up an edge.
Yeah, and it will be patched the next day. Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny is the one who gets everyone's favorite hack nerfed. The fucking ice hammer in Elden Ring. Sorry, you can't use it anymore. Kenny,
yeah. Popping up and respawn as a pyro in TF2. That was my, yeah. There was a way that somebody used to do that because TF2 would have these two different lobbies and you would spawn in there and then you would safely proceed to the field, right? There was one person who figured out how to respawn as a pyro into your lobby. There are seven people listening to this right now who are like, ooh, the guy would just set everyone on fire the minute that they got in. So you'd see one guy, it's like 83 kills, 5 deaths. Goddamn.
Yeah. So stop it. Kenny.
Yeah, stop. Don't do that shit. By the way,
I have some Warhammer news. Warcraft or Warhammer?
Oh.
Are they the same?
They are, yes. Okay. For all purposes, it's totally the same.
That wasn't a bit. I really don't know. Once but I treasure your happiness.
Once you're this deep into nerd shit, did you get a package, Jason, this week?
Yes. After much consideration and thanks in large part due to Spencer's leadership, I have committed to the Warhammer University, which I will be attending my next 40,000 years, which is, of course, the Sisters of Battle.
Congratulations.
Deeply, deeply brainwashed space murder nuns.
This is feminism.
Who even in the game become more powerful if their friends are martyred. That's how they gain stats. Same. When their friends die.
That's superb. They take the people that they've killed and sometimes plug them into machines and let them drive them in their their undead state, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, literally everything Warhammer, just mountains and mountains and mountains of the most ridiculous lore you've ever heard. I am currently in the process of working through which of the chaos gods we will be defecting to, because no, we're not remaining committed to the Emperor. No, fuck him. We're going to turn to the so-called, quote fingers, bad Heresy. Side, which... You know, the so-called Lord of Deception is pretty high on my list. The deception according to who? Huh? Says who? Eve did nothing wrong. Neither did the defecting Sisters of Battle.
Also, you get to do a more badass paint job. So
yeah,
you
know. Exactly. Yeah, we're scrapping the cardinal red for like some like blue, green, purple peacock type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this because then you can get run over by my orc vehicle that I painted a Dale Earnhardt 3 on.
Also, I realized yesterday that
Do I have an orc character named Dale Bernhardt? Yes,
nice.
I do.
Oh, nice, Jesus. Nice. But I assume Heart.
Yes, yes.
Of course.
I noticed. So the orcs, as we've discussed many times, one of their greatest traits is that they are sort of like post information. They don't really care to know or understand things. They just believe things work, and it makes things work. Mm-hmm. Their vehicles, even if they literally cannot work, if orcs believe it, they will achieve it.
So like if they, so, for instance, if your car runs out of gas, and the big orc, the boss, goes, hey, didn't you put gas in the car? Somebody will say, of course, boss, because they don't want to get decapitated. And then because they all believe so hard, the car starts, even and though then, there's no gas in it.
Yes. And orcs also have the power of spending so much time thinking about war, or as they call it, war, that they can manifest war. Even if no one particularly wants to go to war with them, they love war so much that war happens. So the thing that I've noticed about the Sisters of Battle is they hate psykers, right? That sounds like magic and witchcraft and stuff, right? Like, no, they've been indoctrinated against that. But they have something that they call faith in miracles that is also incredibly powerful. And if they believe something hard enough, it manifests as real. Bullets won't hit them and things of this nature. They're psykers who don't know they're psykers because they've been told they hate psykers. It's incredible. Like, the orcs and the sisters work exactly the same. And neither of them have any real understanding of why. It's great shit. It's just great shit.
Yeah. The best comparison is Sam Pittman at Arkansas, because there are games they win simply by being like, we're ahead. We have a run game. They're like, suddenly we have a run game. You're like, nobody's blocked for two quarters. They're like, nope, it's happening. We got one, boss, right? Yeah.
Hop in the run game and murder those zombie lizards. Done.
Wah.
Wow.
Although, yeah, no, it's kind of a similar vibe. You have to agree. Even though Arkansas is 1-3 in conference.
You kids.
I know. So, yes, congratulations, Jason. That's a big development. I'm very proud of you.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't have done it without you because... I was like, man, once I start spending money on this shit, I might never stop. But you demonstrated wise leadership and it got me going regardless.
That's true. I'm a thought leader. Or in the case of the orcs, a non-thought leader.
What you did is you believed it would happen, and then it did.
Like, the only fictional characters, I love any fictional character who is in space without a helmet, and somebody goes, hey, did you know you can't breathe in space without a helmet? And they go, like, they're fine to that point. Yes. And then you pointed it, like, don't look down, Wile E. Coyote.
Yes,
what?
Exactly.
Why? It's fine. It's fine. If this doesn't define fandom, nothing else does.
I love the story universe for a lot of reasons. Like, it's endless, and it's all like the darkest, most horrible, worst shit you can imagine, but it's also so fucking funny. Like, sometimes the extent of the carnage is hilarious, which maybe that sounds hard to imagine, but it's absolutely true. And mm-hmm. then like each of the there's 1,000 factions, and they're all hilarious in their own incredibly demented way. My favorite is the aliens, who are just like normal aliens from a normal space story, who are plopped into this game like, we're gonna do research and stuff. Like, no the fuck you aren't. You might not realize you're in Warhammer, but you're in Warhammer, so here comes some fucked up shit. And they're like,
we would like to do the best thing for everyone here. Yes. And they're like, turns out that's obliterating them with high powered weaponry. That's the only thing you can do in this universe. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we cannot research this galaxy until we destroy the people who have been fighting each other for 10,000 years.
We would like you to join us and be our friend. And they're like, we have chainswords.
Yeah.
That's how, like, we make friends.
I'm sorry. We have what?
Chainswords. Yeah. In case you didn't notice why this is the dumbest and best universe in all of fiction.
I'm having trouble conjuring a visual here.
Sword that has a chainsaw built around it.
Okay.
Yes. That's a... Yeah.
Okay.
Why would you have one of those?
You're asking this of the creator of the axe gun, the gun that shoots axes?
I am certain the axe gun is probably a real thing.
See, Holly, I think you get it. I think you'd fit in just fine.
Spiritually, yeah. I feel like I've absorbed... It's like The Simpsons. I've never seen it, but I feel like I've absorbed enough of it through osmosis at this point to appreciate the craft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes in. Also, I really, really like watching Spencer walk in the door with 80 different colors of model paint and talk about how each one is going to really make the cuffs on his Space Marines uniforms pop.
Hey, ask me if I want to go to Michael's, Holly.
Do you want to go to... Okay, I'm going to rephrase this in terms I understand. Do you want to go to Joann Fabrics, Spencer?
No, man, fuck that. That is the most boring place in the world. There's no way I want to go to Joann Fabrics.
Okay. Did you know that they have paint?
What kind of paint are we talking?
Acrylic.
Some good, like, lustrous acrylics that I can do that bond metal plat. Okay.
Like, really, right. No. Like really bloody reds and, like...
Yeah, get some bloody reds.
Really, like, charred... Yeah. Charred gray and
Spencer, do you want to go to the nerd store? Spencer, yes, I'll go to the
Spencer,
nerd store.
Have you purchased a Japanese airbrushing rig in the last 7 days?
You know what? Mind your own business. Mind your business.
It's for
anyway. Jason, come on over. We're huffing in the garage.
it's for crafting.
Can you text me that link, please?
That's right. That's
there
right.
There we go. Yes.
2022, fall 2022, season of the airbrush.
Okay.
We make shirts.
Airbrush boy autumn.
Airbrush boy.
I'm trying to get a stall at the flea market.
We're making girls. Tank tops.
And girls, to be clear.
And girls, because it's an inclusive universe. Anyone can get slaughtered.
Anyone can get murdered in space.
Space murdered.
10,000 straight years without dying.
Much like crafts, airbrush boy autumn is a gendered construct. So.
Yeah.
Ladies is airbrush boys too.
Anyone who airbrushes is thus an airbrush boy.
That's true. Have you at any point in your life owned an airbrush t-shirt?
Do you know where we're from?
I'm just asking because I'm going to tell you about
You're
mine.
You're asking if we've been to Florida in the 1990s?
Have we been to Myrtle Beach? Yes.
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach, which is in Florida.
Yes.
You can all agree.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. We've been over this. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
I think Florida
Myrtle
extends...
Beach is constitutionally like 60% Florida and 40% Kentucky.
Florida goes from Galveston, Texas to New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, it goes at least up through Virginia Beach.
You know what? I think portions of Rhode Island would even qualify.
There's a lot of statewide Florida, corruption Canada. In government, yeah.
Florida, Canada.
Upper Florida.
Florida, Canada is Rhode Island. Canada, Florida is Lee County. Is
wait, wait, I got it, I got it. Rhode Island. Island. It's in the Keys.
Oh, shit. I wasn't a bit. I really did just suck spit into my throat.
Yeah. I had an airbrush shirt that had a monster truck on it.
Sick. And
yeah. Because I won a poker tournament in my family. So I got, so they made me an airbrush shirt.
Wait, 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 wait.
I played poker with my family too. Is that not a normal
no,
thing?
No, but his family, this
it
is
it was that
a
being a prize was the thing.
Which, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There was a prize. The prize
this has
was
the
shirt.
Feel of an event, not just like an evening whiled away.
This was the prize beforehand?
We got to dictate what the monster truck would say, right?
So, it was custom for you?
Yes.
Oh my God. Did somebody in your family make this or was it sent away for?
No, we were in Gatlinburg.
Okay, sure.
So that was the prize. So I got one and I wanted a monster truck shirt that said The Gambler in neon letters up top and a gigantic monster truck. And then the license plate on the truck said Legend.
Oh, shit.
Hang on. But you played for money too, right?
Yeah. So it is not really a... It's not really an Eddie Hall production unless we have a confusion over whether we're playing for money or not that ends up with playing for money and everyone getting too in their feelings about playing for money and then also a prize on top of that.
Okay, got it.
I'm trying to look for this in my phone, but I think at least...
Also, at no point will children be allowed to take... There's no quarter granted any children, right? So... If there's an 8-year-old who's like, I want to play poker. You're like, okay, cool. I'm going to need a $50 ante, kid. And we're going to take it all. They're like, what am I doing? Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, that's when I started when I think I was 9. And they took I got $150 for Christmas and they took it all from me in poker.
But what you gained was a valuable lesson.
Hey, listen, but I learned from that year because I saw how hammered they were by the time I was already out of it. That I just bided my time the next year, and I took all of their money.
Nice.
Attaboy.
Yes.
Attaboy.
I made $500 that Christmas.
When you were 10?
Yes, legit.
You played the advent calendar long game. It's not just one day.
Both of my uncles came into town for that, so it was added.
I'm like retroactively proud to know you, which is a fun new sensation.
I started gambling at Yahtzee with my grandparents when I was 7.
Hell yeah.
That's about the age that we were taught to play spades by my grandmother.
Well, your family's a Milbourne family, right?
My mom's family's a Milbourne family. My dad's family's a Domino's family.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I can I backtrack to the airbrushing real quick?
Yes, please.
I believe you've seen this. My father's homemade airbrush t-shirt that has a bear, a giant upright brown bear, being pulled on water skis behind a speedboat, and it says Ski Daddy.
Hell yes.
Across the bottom. Ski Daddy. From, I think this came up in Maritime Disasters, but I can't remember.
I'm just writing this down for a new LLC we're forming called Ski Daddy. It's a lifestyle brand.
Were the water skis
Ski Daddy Bear?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah. Ski Daddy. Okay. When I'm a billionaire, remember this moment.
You might still have that shirt. Can I tell you? I have another dad story, which is that I called my father from the car this morning on my way home from the Crystal, and he answered the phone and said, "Hang on, I'm just pulling out of the Crystal." So he pulled into the parking lot, and my dad and I FaceTimed our Crystal bags to each other, which was the most adorable thing that's happened to me in a very long time. Oh, shit. I was going to tell the sausage biscuit story.
We can come back to that right now.
Oh, all right. Spencer has... Jason, he did it again.
I did it.
I went right at him and he swerved me. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
So, this morning...
Oh, thank God.
What happened when you demanded a sausage biscuit?
That's the story I was just going to tell.
Yeah.
That you told me we'd come back to.
I'm asking. Yeah.
You meant we're going to come back to it now?
Yeah, because we started like an hour ago.
You interrupted interrupted me in the story I was telling to say we're going to come back to it and then immediately told me to tell the story?
The floor is yours.
It's like when there's a kickoff commercial break and then you finally get to the drive.
Am I having a stroke?
No, he did do that. He introduced you and he said, "We'll come back to that."
Hang on.
This was the end of the cycle.
But it's the thing that we'll come back to is the thing that he was interrupting. I was about to tell it.
Can we come back to Holly's story later?
Yeah, let's.
Holly, what was your story?
Let's just make it a legend. I don't want to talk about it on the air.
Holly, I'm ready to.
I'm actually afraid of what happens now if I continue to tell the story.
So, Holly, early in the first minute or so of this program, you mentioned something about a biscuit.
Thank you, Jason.
Did I hear that right?
This is not a good story at this point. It's been built up way too far. But this morning, now we're in hand in the dirt territory, because this once again is why you should never pick up someone at the airport. I'm going to pick up Spencer at the train station, and there's a Crystal along the way, and it's not yet 11 o'clock, so I must stop. And I'm not a monster, so I grab Spencer a Crystal breakfast as well, and I get my bags, and one of the bags does not contain, none of the bags is Spencer's sausage biscuit. And I say, "Hello, I'm missing," and there's a couple things missing, and I stick my head back in the way or towards the window and say, "You know, hi, excuse me, I'm missing these biscuits." And she said, "Okay," and she comes back with the chicken biscuit, not with the sausage biscuit. And I said, "Okay, we're still missing the sausage biscuit." And this lady looks at me and she goes, "Oh, I forgot about that." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And there's a beat where she just keeps looking at me. And I was like, "Oh, all right, bye. Have a good day." And I just drove. Like, I just drove away. Wow. It was the most Popeyes experience I've ever had at a Crystal. And I was just like, it took me a second to, I mean, she was perfectly serene. She was just stating a fact. She was not menacing me in any way. She was like, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about that." And I was like, "Well, okay." I did not even look at the receipt to see if I'd been charged for it. I still haven't looked at the receipt to see if I've been charged for it. I just kept along my merry way, because it is clear that this is how this interaction is going to go. I've never had that one at a Crystal before.
It's almost like the two of you have a treasured memory that you just bring up. "Hey, remember that time?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, that was cool."
Yeah. See, this was a new Crystal, because I'm used to the house that I moved away from in the summer was next to what I have to believe is the most lockstep Crystal in God's creation, run by Miss Tanya, who it's a Chick-fil-A level of service at this Crystal. It is fucking on point. And now I'm in a wilderness of new crystals, and this is apparently how this one goes. So
you see,
we've got like Popeye's leakage into the crystal.
You got, hey man, that's crazied.
Yeah, I right? did it by a lady. By yeah. a lady, not like a young lady either. She was just like, oh yeah.
No, that's a phrase you could say to anything. Mm-hmm. And it means I am powerless and will do nothing to change the status of this, but would like to recognize the spectrum of emotions you're experiencing right now.
It took just enough of a beat for me to be embarrassed that I had even asked for it again.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept right on going.
Hey, dang, that's crazy. Is like the, I see you, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Yep. I'm not going to do shit. Yep.
That's all I'm doing.
The lump of carbon on this glowing rock in you recognizes the lump of carbon on this glowing rock in
you. You see a motorcyclist who has gone off at 120 miles per hour directly to a highway sign who is now inserted halfway through it and needs medical attention, but you don't have a cell phone and are unable to provide it. Just look up and be like, hey, man, that's crazy.
I felt slightly unmoored all day, and that's why.
Hey brother, that is just crazy.
It's not like I went to Popeyes. When you go to Popeyes, you're signing up for this. To have this, to have an existential moment before noon at a crystal drive-thru is asking a lot of me personally.
That's all I'm going to respond with this weekend, by the way, when people come at me and are like, hey man, what does it feel like to lose by 30 to Georgia? I'm like, hey man, that's crazy, isn't it?
You'd be like, what?
What?
Wait, are you going?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I have no desire to really go to the cocktail party again. I think I've done that enough.
What about peeing in a graveyard at the last cocktail party said to you that this was a time that had passed in your life?
What about going to a place where the weather is always set on slightly sweaty and seasick?
I'm not arguing for going to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's fucking gross.
But there's so much of it.
It's the city that by quantity can't be beat for the dollar.
By sheer tonnage. By sheer width.
That's why it's a seaport. Huh.
Yeah. They're shipping. What are they shipping into Jacksonville? Never mind. It's not your business. Stuff.
Exotic pets.
I mean, probably.
NFL losses.
Listen, when this makes the Split Zone Duo message boards in 6 weeks, they're going to be really sick about that statement.
I can't wait till they become the first franchise to lose, or first team to lose a franchise to London.
Is that still happening?
It's just like they want it to happen so bad. Ugh, like
heck,
the league.
They're going there next week.
Hey, home. It's home turf, baby.
Yeah.
That's home
turf. It's time to get up. The 4-game losing streak, it's done. Finally. The Broncos are in our yard now. Oh, my God. Broncos, Jaguars at 9 a.m.? No.
Oh, God.
On ESPN Plus? No.
We ended that war 200-plus years ago.
And we're just running up the score. Not much, but...
Not much, no. We're trying to give them teams that will produce a soccer-esque score, right?
Yeah. You don't want to shock their system. Like, here. You like 3-2? Broncos, Jaguars.
Watch as the Jaguars triumph in a 3-0 stunner.
The Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
Jaguars.
I love that there's just some absolute Brexit lad who's a super Jags fan. There's one of them in London who's just like, we'll live and die for them. He's writing songs that no one will sing. Lads, I wrote you a song.
All right, upside.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, given the patterns of the last 10 or 12 weeks, I would say there's a better than even chance that Travis Etienne becomes prime minister. Like, just from going over there and being like, oh, he's very impressive.
Why not?
Yeah.
Tell me one reason why not.
He seems confident.
He does sound awfully French, though.
There's a Hindu bro who's the newest one. They're diversifying among their conservative ghouls.
Diversifying is one thing, but don't put one of Boney's men on the throne. Mm. All right. Just Napoleon behind every bush. You can't trust him.
Wait. So is it true that this dude? I think this is very funny. I mean, not funny, but funny in an English kind of way, which is like, ugh. This dude, as a Hindu, is now a high-ranking official in the Church of England, an office from which Jews and Catholics are barred by statute. Is that right?
Could be. So this is too English to be any of my business, but it sounds right.
Yeah, this is too close to actual Warhammer. You see, if you want
this. I really like parody England.
I like parody England.
Yeah. Dude, they've had three prime ministers in a month. This is parody England.
That's how you know. By the way, that's how you know that like, it's British, because you're like, opening premise, everything's shit.
Shite.
It's just shite. All
it's
of it.
Space shite forever.
So
the guy in charge has been dead for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
That's literally England's government half the time.
Okay, here it is. Rishi Sunak, who's the UK's first Hindu prime minister, will still be able to advise the king on ecclesiastical appointments. Under the law, Jewish and Roman Catholics are barred from doing so. Thank you to constitutional enthusiast Jason Locke.
I'm convinced that this is just this year's Doctor Who Christmas special.
This is great. The Doctor. Hey, this family has done really well when it comes to like shaking up the way they do things in the Church of England, and I'm excited that they get to flex those muscles.
How much can I get? How much do I have to pay to get into Denver versus Jacksonville in London? God. Upper deck is $111.
Is that bucks or pounds?
It's bucks.
Okay.
Bucks. So 111, with tickets as high as $877 for the lower bowl.
Okay, if I'm going to go, I want good seats. What are good seats running?
There are no good seats at a Jags Broncos game.
Right? But I want to be okay.
Closest to the exit.
I want higher exposure to the Jags Broncos.
I don't want to live through this. Yeah, I want maximum exposure.
Exactly. I don't want radiation poisoning. I want my organs to liquefy on the spot.
I don't want to remember this shit.
Got to pay about $900 for those. $900 for a lethal dose of Broncos Jags.
What the fuck, man? Whatever.
That sure is upsetting.
Speaking of upper decks, lower bowls, unwatchable shit. We posed a math problem to the full cast readership, math science, general STEM problem. Last week or the week before, whichever, all the weeks sort of run together. About the moon. And we received multiple thorough, authoritative answers to our question. Holly, do you happen to have one of those pulled up?
I sure do. Server, can we pull up the full cast from 415 from an honest to God astrophysicist?
Hi. I sure hope this is the right number. I'm an astrophysicist, and I'm calling to talk about pooping in the ocean to punish the moon. So you're right that, you know, you can't really increase the mass, but what you should be thinking about is how that changes the viscosity of the ocean. So right now, the tides of water ocean, they dissipate energy, and that causes the moon to actually slowly move away from us. So it's moving away, I don't know, like an inch a year or something like that. But if you were to place the water with poop, which I assume is more viscous than water, I will not be Googling that. You will probably, I think, increase the rate of energy dissipation, and that would mean the moon would move away faster. So you can't make the moon crash into Earth, but you could banish it more quickly. But it also make the Earth slow down more quickly, like days would become longer.
So we can increase grind and banish the moon?
Yeah.
It's on here.
Okay, bye.
So we'd be awake for more of our entire planet smelling like shit. What I understand. So, wow. So if we replaced literally the question was how much would we have to poop in the ocean to so alter the moon's gravity and the crash into the Earth? And from this, a very authoritative answer, we can't. It would only, we would in fact do the opposite.
We also received from another honest to God astrophysicist, Matt in Seattle, an interesting the way he researched it and concluded we couldn't is based on what we know about the effects of ice cap melting on the ocean, and how that has affected the spin of the Earth and so on and so forth, that no amount of poop is going to solve our problem here. But what Matt proposed is making a constellation of very massive space probes, filling them with poop and launching them around the moon as gravity tractors to very, very slowly tug the moon toward the Earth. We would have to do it from space, not the ocean. This is a tweak, quite a tweak, to the original prompt, because this is not pooping in the ocean. This is merely the act of using shit itself,
right,
independent of the ocean. Some would say the space is itself a great sea, but I think that's a little bit too poetic for our deeply scientific purposes here. But if we are committed to shitting the moon into the Earth, I think Matt has I think it's worth a shot.
See, everything.
This is also a practice that could replace. We're going to need something to replace corn subsidies eventually in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So I see
an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. An opportunity,
and we can get rid
of
the moon.
Or a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matt also notes that there's been a lot of research. NASA and others have looked into using human waste as a fuel source for spacecraft.
Yeah, biomass.
So, so these things could be, you know, sort of self-replenishing or whatever. Maybe just put people on them and they poop and that keeps them flying as they slowly tug the moon into the Earth. I think we can get it done. I think if we believe, If we have the commitment and the resolve and the belief in each other, I think we can do it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that is also a Warhammer plot. How could we use poop to crash a moon into the Earth?
I'm really excited for this journey you guys are on.
Yeah,
and it'll be a plot that's like one line mentioned as like somebody's like very. It's like one line in their backstory, in one guy's backstory, right?
Yeah, it's like it killed 3 billion of his troops. When they did this,
he shot the moon into his home planet. But here's the more interesting stuff.
Yes.
Can I ask a warlore question?
Mm-hmm.
And this may just be because my primary exposure to it has been like via the people on this podcast and their children. But just from an orbital view, warlore, this whole universe of lore that you guys are. That you guys are skipping merrily through seems to be a lot more jovial and genial than, say, the Star Wars extended universe, despite maybe because of all the ultra violence. Like,
yep.
Everybody over in this particular nerd sphere seems way more laid back, and all they're doing is killing.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Have you ever seen when MMA people after a fight are broing out with their faces all absolutely bloodied up? They're like, I love this guy. He's fucking great.
Okay.
I think that's kind of the ethos in Warhammer. It's like if you play somebody, nobody's coming out of there like, oh, we just both lost a few guys. No, one of you is getting totally slaughtered.
Yeah.
And then it ends and it's like, ah, that was awesome. We should do that again. Like, yeah, that's kind of the ethos.
There just seems to be so much less angst over here with all these like happy murderers.
Yeah, and like
everyone being bad is a great starting point.
Mm. Yeah, there are no arguments. There's no moral arguments, right? Like everyone fucking sucks, which is a pretty good like baseline for everything, right? Like
yeah.
It's kind of like college football where it's like my team is more ethical than yours. It's not. So so now we're on even playing field. I love the Star Wars comparison. It's like Star Wars is like completely bloodless, right? And like you know, the very worst thing that happens is you're like
instantly vaporized. And everyone's upset all the time. And everyone's upset about it all the time.
Whereas in Warhammer, which has like rooms made of screaming tissue that was created just so it could feel pain, everyone's like, this is very funny to me and my friends who get along great and treat each other with respect.
Yeah, you're like, I turned him into a desk, and every time I shut this drawer, he feels an extraordinary amount of pain in his desk torso body. Yeah, that's like...
Now let's hug
that's,
about
that's
it.
Baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that it's a perfect community.
I didn't want to use the word wholesome, but it just seems so much more It just seems so much more genial than the Star Wars bunch.
This compared to Star Wars fandom, we can go wholesome, I think.
This is both a critique and an observation. It also helps that there are like when it comes to representation, there's not much. They're really like they're working on that, but like there's really only one like layer of female characters.
Well,
at all.
Is that
Yeah. So
and we're going to murder all of you. And that's,
Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is feminism. Let's get them, girls.
Man, skull, skin, shirts.
They truly are not impressed much by anything.
No.
Yeah.
Anything that impresses you is heresy. That's how that's the battle works.
Unless it's the Emperor.
Sorry. Welcome to the Empress Shania Payne.
Yeah. I'm afraid Jason. Yeah. Yeah. Shania. Oh, there you go. No, okay. You named her.
No,
you named
now her. I want to. Can I have a Warcraft clan now? And can it be all Canadian female country music singers?
Yes.
Okay.
Anne Murray, your Primarch. Shania Twain, your sigil.
Why not?
Yeah, no. Do whatever you want. I think that's it.
So that's this week in college football.
So you're Brad Pitt?